But do you remember when you graduated high school? Yeah, 40 years ago for me. 40 years ago, I graduated high school. So, you know, you get a class ring, and it's a big deal, and you save up, and you get, and you kind of literally sell worms so you could buy class rings. You know, you dig up worms so I could, you know, those types of things. And it's like, it's no big deal after that, right? You get it, and it's like, well, where do you wear this clunky thing at, you know? And then you kind of throw it in a box, but you're making decisions, right? You're making decisions on life. And my class ring still has on it, not still, it didn't change, but has agriculture on it. It has a picture of a tractor on it because that was my heart's desire was to be not just a farmer. I said in the yearbook, a successful farmer. Because there's lots of people, I think, farm, and very few maybe that succeed at it. So, but God had other plans in my life, and He changed those. But this is the era where many kids are deciding where to go from this point. I heard a guy say one time, speaking to the senior class, "Congratulations on finishing the easiest part of your life." You know, so now it's time to step out there and risk it and decide. You're trying to decide at 18, for crying out loud. What major do you want? I did, really? I mean, that's a big choice. But I got onto careeronestop.org this week just to see what some of the top jobs were. They listed the top 832 occupations that employed the most people. I found that interesting, that 830 different, five different places or occupations that employ the most people. Here's the top one, is that retail and cashier, 7.1 million people in this country are employed in retail or as a cashier somewhere. Just so you know, that's one in every 48 people. So I'm questioning why you need self-checkout, for crying out loud. You know, you just lose the self-checkout. One in 48 people in this country work in that field. Healthcare and nurses' aid, 3.6 million people. Fast food worker, 3.2 million people. Registered nurses, 3.1 million unregistered nurses in this country. There's the top four employable, if you will, occupations in this country as of last week when I was looking at this. But then I went down a few hundred more, and I found, you can push the button, I found this, that there's 514,000 bartenders, which was okay with me, I guess, but there's only 245,400 clergy. Only 245,400 clergymen in this, clergy people in this country. That's 2.1 bartenders for every pastor. And I'm just not, if you want to have a beer, I guess that's all right with me, but really, do we need twice as many bartenders as we need pastors? Just so you know, that is 1 in 1,400. There's one pastor for every 1,400 people in this country. One person in clergy. Just so you know, there's one in 600 for bartenders. One in 48 if you want to work in retail. And that was a little disturbing to me to understand that literally I read an article that the pastor is on the decline. Those that are seeking to be pastors are on the decline, falling in record numbers. There's less and less and less and less and less people striving to be a pastor or work in that clergy. There's a pastor shortage. Name of the article, A Pastor Shortage in America. And I understand that sometimes. There are considerably more pastors over 65 than there are under 40. Statistics indicate that 42% of pastors are considering quitting even today. The income level of a pastor is somewhere between $20,000 and $65,000 annually. The average work week is between 55 and 60 hours. There's definitely challenges to being a pastor. In 2 Corinthians 11, Paul says this, are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked harder. I've been in prison more frequently. I've been flogged more severely and been exposed to death again and again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I've been beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Not in today's stoned language, but he was literally stoned. And 3 times I was shipwrecked, and I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, and in danger from bandits, and in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored, and I have toiled, and I have gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst, and I have gone without food. I have been cold and I have been naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressures of my concern for you. I get that. I get having COVID twice for myself, but having more concern about you suffering with COVID. I get the fact that I need to keep my house warm, but at times I'm more concerned about your house being warm. I get that. I get that struggle of being a pastor. I get that having your own life situations to deal with and your own family situations to deal with. But somehow God has got you in an occupation or in a service or in a calling on your life where you need to be concerned. Oh, you shouldn't worry about anything. He's not worried. He's got a concern for them. He wants the best for them. I want the best for 713 Walnut Street, but I want the best for every other house in this room. I want the best for your house. I understand what he's saying. In 2 Corinthians 3, he says this, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Really? Paul's saying. Really? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you and from you? I need to endeavor to convince you that I'm your pastor, is what he's saying. I need to convince you. You've got to have a letter of recommendation from someone else to prove to you that I'm the pastor of New Life? That's what he's saying. Really? If all the other people in the world, all the other pastors in the world, there's one set of people that I shouldn't try to have to convince that I'm the pastor of New Life, and that's you. That's what he's saying. I would give my right arm for you. You yourselves are our letter. You ourselves are our letter, he says. Written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry. Written not in ink, on paper, but with the Spirit of the living God on tablets, not of stone, but on tablets of the human heart. Do you know who I am, he said? Do you know how much I hurt for you? Do you know how much I would go to the end of the world for you? Do you know how much I would give up for you? Do you know that? And now you need a letter of recommendation from me or from someone else to prove to you that I would go to the end of the world for you.
Come on, Al.
You are the result of my ministry, he said. You are the ones. You are my letter. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competency comes from God. Our ability, my competency, and my skill and my proficiency are all in God. And to let me make it clear, I would do nothing else than what I'm doing. I can't imagine doing anything else. I can't imagine not doing this. I can't imagine not receiving the phone call. I can't imagine not putting my arm around and praying for Arlene. I can't imagine not having a heart for you. I can't imagine not going to the end of the world. I can't imagine not being concerned for you. I can't imagine not being able to give you the Word of God. I don't even want to do that. Anything else other than what I'm doing. Because, see, you see, New Life is not just a one-sided gig. It's a two-sided gig. It's not just a guy up here on the platform sweating or whatever else and preaching the Word and answering the phone. It's not just that. It's not just me. It's me and you. It's you and me. New Life is a two-way thing. It's us together. And I want to be the pastor of New Life. I have no way of thinking I would ever do anything different than this. But it is a two-way street, and what makes me get up in the morning is you. Hunger. Hunger for the Word. A passion for Jesus. A difference that we're making in this world. It's you why I get up in the morning. So I can answer your questions. So it can be the hands and the feet of Jesus is what gets me up in the morning. I feel kind of like Paul feels in Thessalonians as he's talking to the church. And for this reason, we constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the Word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. He is on fire for the Thessalonians. And he said, this is what I like. This is what I like about you. This is what I like about you, New Life. This is what I like about you. You're receiving the Word of God. That's what Paul says about the church of Thessalonica. That's what I'm saying about New Lifers this morning. You receive the Word of God. Your Bibles are not on the shelves. Your Bibles are not on the bookshelves. Your Bibles are not left in your van. You're receiving it. You're picking up the Word of God. You're picking up the Word of God. You're hungry for the Word of God. And you're taking it off the end tables. And you're looking it up on your electronic devices. And you're looking and you're posting. And you're hungry for the Word. You're taking it up. You're receiving the Word of God. What makes this job easier, perhaps, than pastor of any other body in this world is that New Lifers don't leave the Bible on the shelf. That's what I like. It's not just about me and what I would do for you. It's about what you're doing. And you're receiving the Word of God. You're here. Many of you got your Bibles open, your phones open. Some of you got pens in your hand. Some of you are making notes. I'm telling you what, when you receive the Word of God, that excites the guy here, not only on a Sunday morning, but it excites me day in and day out. When somebody has a question, they call me and say, I have picked up the Word of God. I have read this. What does it mean? How do I walk this out? New Life, you are receiving the Word of God. You can push the button. New Life, you are receiving the Word of God. I don't care how much or how hard it is to be a pastor. I don't care right this moment. I don't care if the pastor pool is falling through the ground right now. I like being your pastor. Because you are picking up the Word of God. Because it matters to you. I'm not sure what I would do if I had to preach every Sunday to a bunch of sticks in the mud. But I don't. Guys leaning forward in their seats. hungry for the answers. New life, you are receiving the word of God. Back to that passage, it says this. It says, for this reason, we also constantly thank God. Thank you, God, for new life. As I walk with other pastors, thank you, God, for new life. That when you receive, God, that when you received it from us, the word of God's message, you accepted it. You accepted it, and that word accepted means not only did you take the Bible, not only are you carrying the Bible with you, not only is the Bible falling apart. I heard one time a Bible that's falling apart belongs to someone who isn't. Not only are you receiving, but you're accepting the word of God. The word accept goes to the next step. You eagerly welcome it. You welcome it. You want it. When you receive the word, you are saying that I acknowledge its value. When you accept it, you're allowing it into your life. So you receive it. Say, this is valuable. We used to hang out sometimes at the district court office on Thursdays. If you just really want a place to hang out, go to the district court office on Thursdays. Because Thursdays is very busy around here, just in case you're wondering. And you can hang out there and you can just talk to people. And I shared this story before, but one lady says, she's sitting there and she said, I got a question for you. I said, okay, what's your question? She said, what's the legal way to dispose of a Bible? I'm like, that's an interesting question. I said, why are you looking to dispose? She said, well, my dog chewed it up. And I can't read most of it, and I just need a legal way to dispose of it. And I said, just throw it in the trash. And she's like, are you really a pastor? And she said, that would be so disrespectful. And I said, what are other ways we disrespect this? And a guy on the other end of the bench with his head down, he just said this, we don't read it. So if acknowledging its value, but appreciating what it can do in your life is when you open it. When you accept the word of God. New lifers, you're accepting the word of God. You're not just picking it up. But you're accepting it. You're allowing it to filter down into your soul. You're allowing it to get into your innermost workings. I said, if you're not going to read it, what's it matter if you throw it in the garbage or not? Just don't carry it around because it has a leather cover. Open it up and let the word of God speak to you. It wants to go down in deep into who you are. It wants to start doing something, but you got to accept it. You got to swallow it. It'd be like putting your ice on your chest for heartburn. It ain't going to work. You need to swallow something for heartburn. You need to take some medicine for heartburn. You can't just pour it on the outside or slap some Tums to your shirt or carry it in your pocket. You got to get it inside. You got to get the word inside. New lifers, you're doing that. And I really appreciate that. It makes being your pastor very exciting. Because you're accepting the word. Push the button. New life, you are accepting the word of God. And I appreciate you. And I love you. And I love it when you accept the word of God. Back to verse 13. And for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which performs its work in you. I'm watching it. I'm watching it perform its work in you. I'm watching it. because you're receiving it, because you're swallowing it, and it's paying dividends, and I'm seeing it all over you. I know there are some new lifers that are out there back in the addiction. Today, they're on the back burner because you guys are on the front burner today. I love you because you're walking out your faith. Because you're receiving, you're accepting, and it's performing a work in you that only it can perform to those who believe. New life, the Word is performing its work in you. And I appreciate that. And I can see that. I can see the discussions going to great levels in the groups. I can see not being satisfied with surface answers. I can see a hunger. I can see a reality. I can see it coming alive in your lives. I love being your pastor. Even if there's only 245,400 of us in this country. Verse 14 says this, "For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea." You became imitators of what God wants in a church. That's what it's saying. God wants it in a church. Do we get everything right? If you want to focus on what we got wrong, and listen, there's enough people to focus on what I got wrong. I have heard over the years, "You know the problem with New Life is?" And I said, "No." And they said, "It's you." I'm like, "Well, you want to have coffee sometime?" Because it's either having coffee or I'm going to punch you in the mouth right now. I don't know what to do. But we're becoming an imitator of the church that God wants us to be. Amen. We're getting it done. If you want to make a list of things we didn't get done, then we'll turn it right into a prayer list and we'll begin to get it done. But I am one. You know why the rearview mirror is so much smaller on your car than your windshield? Because you're supposed to spend most of your time going forward and looking forward. I'm gonna let go of some things that didn't get done, perhaps, or that was an error or something. Because we're becoming the church that God wants us to be. We are becoming imitators of the church that God desires us to be in East Freedom. New Life, you are becoming the imitators of God's church. "For you also endured the same suffering at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove them out. They were not pleasing to God, but hostile to all men, hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they may be saved, with the result that they also fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them at the utmost." You know what he's saying there? Said you're meeting challenges after challenges after challenges, and you're having victory over challenges over challenges over challenges. I see that in your life. The Word of God is making a difference, and it will make you different. And it will cause people to say, as someone quoted to me this week, "I am afraid that if I walk wholeheartedly with Jesus, some people will leave me and some people will think I'm crazy." The answer is yes and yes. We meet challenges every day. And New Life First, I'm seeing you meet those challenges, and I'm seeing you come on the other side of those challenges day in and day out. And I really like to see that in your life. New Life, you are not allowing challenges to stop you. And I love being your pastor. You receive the Word of God. You accept the Word. You performing its work in you. You're imitators of God's church and challenge embracing, enduring, challenge enduring. So that spells R-A-P-I-C, RAPIC. And I said, Lord, that would be really cool if that was a word. Because I think new lifers are RAPIC. You're RAPIC. So I Googled RAPIC, which is a scary thing to do on a word you don't know. So I Googled RAPIC definition. And this is what came up. Are we missing a good definition for RAPIC? Don't keep it to yourself. So apparently there's not a word RAPIC until today. New lifers, you are RAPIC. Because I've just created a word, and it means this: one who is allowing the word of God to cause them to walk passionately with Jesus. And I will be submitting that to that dictionary. I do have a word. I do have a new meeting. You are missing out on RAPIC people. New lifers are RAPIC people. Because you are receiving, you are accepting, it's performing its work in you. You are becoming imitators of the church that God wants you to be and wants us to be. And we're meeting challenges, and you're meeting challenges every day, and you're enduring them, and you're getting it done. And I can't imagine doing anything else than walking with you. Look what he says in verse 17. But we, brethren, have been bereft or deprived of you for a short while, in person but not in spirit. We're all the more eager, with great desire, to see you face to face. For we wanted to come to you. I, Paul, more than once. And yet, Satan thwarted us. For who is our hope or crown or joy or crown of exaltation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? For you are the glory and the joy. You know what he's saying there? I love being your pastor. And you're getting it done. And when I stand before the Lord, you're paying into my 401k like you can't believe. Spiritually. And when I stand before God someday, he's going to say, thank you for walking with Tanner. Thank you for praying. Thank you for being concerned for Linda's health. I like being the pastor of New Life. So much so that I bought you all ice cream today. Everybody gets ice cream on the way out. Number one, I like you.
We love you.
Number two, it's June is dairy month, so I chose ice cream. Number three, ice cream makes a little bit of a mess. And so does the Word of God. And so don't RAPIC people. Sometimes we make a little bit of a mess. So I'm going to ask those that are going to get the ice cream if you can go get it now. And on your way out this morning, there's three different kinds of ice cream cones and ice cream sandwiches. And just so you know, I know some are fruit-driven, no sugar added ice cream. Because I love you too. And I know that better serves you than just regular ice cream. New Life, just let it be known. I love you, and I'm proud to be your pastor. And you are definitely RAPIC people. And I can't imagine doing anything different than what I'm doing right now. Stand with me today. Father, thank you for these moments together. And Father, this is the 23rd time on this 2023 that we have gathered. And so, Father, thank you for new lifers. And Father, I know that there are new lifers that are struggling, and we hold them up to you today. And Lord, I thank you for the new lifers that are getting it done. The people here, the people worshiping you, the people receiving and accepting the Word of God, and it's performing this work in them, and we're becoming imitators of the church that you are so pleased with, God. And the challenges, we're enduring them. Father, thank you for rapid people. Father, thank you for calling us. Thank you for loving us and giving us a heart for each other and a heart for this world. Father, I'm going to send this rapid bunch into this world that so desperately needs Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Get your ice cream on the way out.